Here we go. Let's celebrate what the Lord is doing through the Word of God. Here we go. Mark chapter 14, starting in the first verse. Now, the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. I'm going to pause here for 1 second. As I was studying this passage today, or this week leading into today, I was struck that I had never noticed before that the word sly is in the Bible. I texted Sly. I was like, hey, did you know in Mark chapter 14, you're noted. Anyway, back to the story. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man named Simon the leper, a woman came in with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you cannot help them anytime, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. Focus in with me on verse 8. It says, she did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand her over. Father God, might your word impact our lives, direct us. Might we surrender to your word, because your word reveals your will. Your will directs us in your way. God, I pray that we would be obedient to the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. When you first read this story, you recognize that there are some folks that have something against Jesus. There's some folks that have a different agenda. They've got a different plan than what Jesus might have been excited for himself. Namely, there are people plotting to kill him. Think about this with me. Jesus is fully God, amen? All right, for those who might be new to the theological realm, Jesus is fully God and yet is fully man. He's everything about his deity and yet everything that we are in humanity. So he's straddling the eternal and the, what's the opposite of eternal? Temporal. I like that. So Jesus is fully God and fully man, but in his fully Godness, he knows all things. You understand that, right? He knows all things. So there are people plotting to kill him. You know what? He knows that. Now look, there's some people around, you know, I, Lord willing, not many, but there's one or two people in the world who might be like, you know, Pastor Ray is just not my favorite person. But more often than not, if those people existed, I don't know that, right? So I walk around like everything is great. Because everything is great to me because I don't know that. But Jesus walked around being like, he wants to kill me. He wants to kill me. She wants to kill me. And he knew this because he is fully God. There's no knowledge that has passed him by. He understands. So he's living in a, I know what's ahead and yet I know what I'm in. That's a tough place to be. I mean, could you just think about that for a second? Think about how hard it must have been to sit in a room and be like, no, we're not talking about somebody who doesn't like the color shirt you're wearing. We're talking about somebody who doesn't want you to be alive. We're talking about somebody who is plotting to put you down. By the way, Cindy, you're wearing an Eagles shirt. Yeah, as a Raiders fan, I'm a little bit offended, but we'll move on. I mean, think about it. Think about it. We're not talking about the clothing that somebody's wearing. We're not talking about the hairstyle they came in. We're not talking about whether they were on time or late or any of those things. We're talking about the fact that you don't want them to exist anymore. There are people sitting in his midst who are trying to find a way to have him put to death. And the king of the world is sitting there knowing that. I can't imagine how tough it must have been, you know, the tension that must have been present. And yet Jesus, rather than responding, stays in the moment that God has for him right there. He creates a teachable moment out of what might have seemed ordinary. The other thing I want to note before we dive any further is that the enemy wasn't just in his midst. The enemy was on his team. Let that set in for a minute. The enemy wasn't just in the room. The enemy was on his team. Judas, chosen by Jesus to be a disciple, had given way, had given over to the enemy. Anybody remember that movie War Room? Yeah. I said a couple people were like, yeah. I don't remember the girl's name. Her first name is Priscilla. I don't remember her last name. Shire. Who said it and what'd you say?
Shire.
Shire. Okay, that name you're saying. Thank you. I'm bad at hearing, so I just need to see like your lips move when you say it. But she does this fantastic sermon. You should check it out on my Google sometime, and maybe I'll post it on my page. But she tells a story about her kids, and I'll try to retell it really quickly. But she tells a story about her kids. She lives in a rural area outside of Dallas, Texas, and she said she moved out there because it's like a little country space, and she has all boys, and she thinks her boys need space to play. And she tells a story about a boat. She says, you know, like there's a boat in the backyard that's always upside down. Right? And so the kids go out there and they play on and they climb on, they do whatever they do. But when they decide they want to take the boat into the lake, they've got to turn the boat over, right? He says, whenever you get ready to turn the boat over, though, you know what's going to happen. The boat's been sitting upside down for a couple of weeks, and it's dark, and it's wet under there, and like there's critters. You know, you start to turn the boat over and something runs out or jumps out or slithers out. And she says, the reality is when we live upside down to the way of God, we don't have to invite the critters in. We've created an atmosphere for them to be in. But when we turn our life around and we surrender our life to God, there's no space for that, right? So nobody runs around saying, hey, Satan, I want you to come and be in here. But when we stop living right side up to what God desires and we turn our story upside down to the way of God, what actually ends up happening is we create an environment that Satan wants to play in. Right? And so here we go. Judas has given his heart, taken his heart, and instead of pointing it toward what God would have for him, has turned it upside down and created an environment where Satan wants to begin to play. So he didn't have to invite him in. The enemy had a fertile ground, right? And I see this in his passage, and I'm like, Jesus, like, how could you sit at the table with Judas? How could you let him in the room? Couldn't you put your angelic guards right there and do like an ID check on the way in? No, not you. No, not you. No, not you. Yes, come on through. Come on through. I mean, think about it. Like, couldn't Jesus have just been like, I'm only going to let in those who are for me, not those who are against me? Well, I mean, he probably could have. Matter of fact, I can guarantee you he could have, because there's going to come a time, there's going to come a day when there's going to be a guard at the gate. I hope this isn't news to you, but if it is, let this sink in. There's going to come a day where there's going to be a guard at the gate. And the only ones who are going to go through the gate are those who are for him, not those who are against him. But Jesus didn't do that. Everybody's in the room. Those who are for him and those who are plotting to kill him. Those who are on his team and will remain on his team, and those who are on his team and will betray his team. And then we find these things in Scripture. We find this story about this gal who has this alabaster jar, and she discerns that the best thing to do with this alabaster jar, we're going to skip right past the fact that they're at the leper's house. We'll come to that another day. But the best thing that she can do with this alabaster jar is she can break it and she can pour it all on Jesus. And Mark says she pours it over his head. You can just kind of picture it kind of coming down. You can picture the smell of it radiating out. You know, it's kind of that aroma of, you know, of the guy, the middle school boy who wears too much Axe. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. All right. Yeah, some of the middle school guys are like, oh, yeah. But you get what I'm saying, right? You know what I'm talking about? Or you know, or the senior lady who wears too much perfume. You know what I'm saying? Like, this aroma is filling the room, and it's radiating from Jesus. And everybody's like, wait a minute, Jesus, what are you doing? Why did that happen? Why didn't you stop it? And Jesus, rather than rebuking the lady like everybody else is, he says that her story will be told over and over again. I want to point out a couple of things here. First thing I want to say to us this morning is that in this moment, she did what she could. Stay with me. She did what she could. There were a lot of needs in the room. There were a lot of needs in the neighborhood right outside the doors of the room. Matter of fact, she could have stood up and you know, like she did, one of the needs was to rebuke Judas. One of the needs was to guard Jesus. One of the needs was to go meet the needs of the people who were on the street and in the neighborhood who had great needs. But she chose to do what she could. She had the gifts that she had, and she had the opportunity that was in front of her, and she took advantage of it. Said, I'm going to do what I can. I can't do everything. Any big dreamers in the room? No, you didn't put your hand up fast enough. Any big dreamers in the room? All right. So big dreamers, keep your hands up, big dreamers, we need to learn from this. She couldn't do everything. Big dreamers like me, we feel like we can tackle it all, doesn't matter what it is. We're like, yo, we got this. And halfway through something else comes, we got that too, no worries. I got a dream for that dream, right? You know, like, she couldn't do it all. Put your hand down. She couldn't do it all. But she could do something. Let me speak to those who are in the room for a moment here who just feel like, man, you know, like my ship has passed me by. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the resource. Whatever that language would be that you're feeling, I want you to hear this. She couldn't do everything, but she could do something. She could do something. And she did. You know, some people complain while other people do. You hear that? Some people complain while other people do. That's what you see in the passage. The people start grumbling about the fact that she was doing something. She wasn't worried about that. She was doing something. Some of us, we find our identity in being the one who find fault with the fact that other people are doing something. I want to say to those of us who are struggling with that, do something. Do something. We're going to have church in September where instead of sitting down, we're going to go out. This is news to you. We're going to have church in September. I'll say it again. We're going to have church in September one Sunday where instead of sitting down, we're going to go out. This is all, we're going to go do something, y'all. Every one of us, we're going to go do something. We're going to go do something. And you're like, hey, Pastor, you might go visit another church that Sunday, but still, we're going to go do something. We're going to go do something, all right? There's going to be a day. We're going to do something. We're not going to complain about it. We're not going to find fault to somebody else doing something. We're going to get up and do something. She did what she could with what she had. You know, the only hurdle to big dreams are finances. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody want to go on a cruise? Anybody want to fly around the world? Anybody want to go see that tower that leans? Right? Like, yeah, the only thing holding us back is money. Right? You know, maybe not. Maybe there's a couple other. Maybe you're afraid to fly. It would be a long walk and then a hard swim. But, you know, I mean, the thing that holds us back is we don't have what we need. But in reality, check this out. She did what she could with what she had. She didn't have bread to give away. She didn't have food to give away. She didn't have dishes to do. She had one thing that she could do. She had this oil, and she could bless him. She was like, I can bless you, Jesus. That's all I can do. I can't fix anything else, but I can do what I can with what I have. Let me give you some real life examples of that. I pointed earlier to Martha. Before we got here, before Michelle and I got here to the church, when the word got out that we had become the final people to be considered for the job, and maybe that just means they ran out of other candidates, I don't know, but however it was, they got onto us when we became those people. Martha sent us a letter. I didn't know who Martha was. She sent us a letter. Hey, that was exciting. We got here, we met Martha. About 2 weeks later, she sent us another letter. My birthday came around in Thanksgiving, and there was a birthday card. The kids' birthdays came around, and there were birthday cards. Sooner or later, I was like, does she have like access to like Social Security or something? Like, how does she know all this information about us? But she never skipped a beat. As a matter of fact, if you've ever gotten anything handwritten from the church, it probably came through Martha. I'll attest to Courtney over in the back over there. I said to Courtney one day, hey, why did you stay here? You got here and it was in a fledgling time in the church and rows were pretty empty. You had choice of seats. And why did you stay? And he was like, Martha. He said, she came up to me and she welcomed me and, you know, she followed up and I just felt drawn in. She can't do everything, but she's choosing to do what she can. For those who don't know, Martha's a little bit older in life. And Martha doesn't drive. She's not going out to do visits. Like, she's actually never driven, right? So she's not going out to do that. Like, she's doing what she can with what she has. She's got an ability to write, and she got a post box right in front of her apartment, and she walks out there and drops it in that little blue box. She does what she can with what she has. When I went to visit Martha in the hospital just the other day, I was kind of on an agenda, just marching down through the hospital floor, whatever. And I hear, hey, Pastor Ray, Pastor Ray. And I hear this voice, and I'm like, I know this voice, but it's out of context. And there it was, come running out of the waiting room, was Joan. And I was like, what are you doing here? You know, like, just kind of out of place, out of context. She was like, I've been sitting here, I've been hanging with Martha's family, and we're waiting. And I realized, now I'll tell you some other things about Joan. Joan also doesn't drive. Right? And so she wasn't like me. I was trying to dart in and dart out. She was camping. She was setting up camp. She was going to be there for a minute. Right? And I got texts throughout the day. She was there for a little while. And I realized that there are people in our congregation, in our midst, day after day, who they do what they can with what they have. They can't do everything, but they can do something. And some of the times, the something that they're doing are things that just pass by. You don't even notice. Right? Any of y'all follow me on Facebook, you'll notice that last night around 9:30, I put a message up that says, I'm blessed by some really good friends. I won't say who he is because then everybody's going to ask him for him. But he showed up in my house last night at 9 o'clock with a rack of ribs. I was like, Jesus, this is good. I will come in my pajamas to get those ribs. Right? Like, I mean, you just do what you can with what you have. You choose to do something as the moment is there. Is a senior member of our church who normally stands in the front and sings. I won't identify him, but you can quickly point out who he is. He came up to Michelle and I about 3 years ago, and he said, you know, I'm still active. I can still do some things, but I can't do as much as I used to do. But the Lord has blessed me in some ways. And about every month or two, he would walk up to us, and he would hand us an envelope, and he would just say, hey, go do something for the kingdom of God with this. And he would just bless us, like, go do something for the kingdom of God with this. And we were able at times, you know, get some food for somebody who didn't have food, or we were able to, you know, put a tire on somebody's car who couldn't afford a tire. We were able to do something for the kingdom of God with that. Like, he wasn't able to do everything, but he said, this is what God allows me to do, and I'm going to do something with what I have. And I see that same thing in this passage of Scripture. She is just doing, she can't do everything. Matter of fact, she can't even do the things that some people would like her to do. Amen to that. She can't do the things that some people would just stand around and be like, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? She can't do that. I can just do this, but I'm going to do something with what the Lord has given me. All right, I'm going to move forward. Here's another one. She did what she could when she could. Let me say this to you again. She did what she could when she could. I want to challenge and charge us, church, to be spiritually attuned to the moments that God puts in front of us. Because those moments pass by like that, right? The moment presented itself. Jesus was in the room. She had the jar. This was the moment. She didn't say, I'm going to sit back for 2 days and discern whether this is right. She said, I have done my discerning. I am present. I am ready. God, the moment is here. I'm going to capture it. I'm going to capture it. I'm going to do something in this moment, in the moment that the Lord has put in front of me. And she does it. She does it. Sometimes in a good Presbyterian way, we spend a lot of time thinking about it and and wrestling ourselves out of doing it and then wrestling ourselves back into doing it. And by the time we're ready to do it, it's like way back there. It's way back there, right? Sometimes we just got to be able to say, God, I trust you in this moment. I'm going to go. I'm diving in. I hope the water's deep. Here I come. And taking advantage of the moment that's presented in front of you. She did what she could while she could. Anybody know this name? J. Wellington Wimpy. Anybody know that name? Come on, somebody's older than me. Somebody knows this name. Think about it. Yeah! Yes! My young lad, I didn't even tell him ahead of time. That was awesome, Adam. Yeah, it's Wimpy from Popeye. Come on, y'all remember Popeye? Come on, who remembers Wimpy? Come on, all right, what did Wimpy always say? I'll happily pay you tomorrow for a hamburger today, right? And some of us take that opportunity with God. I'll happily do that tomorrow, God. I'll happily get to that a little bit later, God. God, I just want you to do what I want now, right? Oh, God, you want me to? Oh, yeah, I'll get to that. But God, just do what I need you to do right now, right? Sometimes that creeps into us. And I want to say to us right now, capture the moment that God puts in front of you because it's passing you by. He's put you in a situation for an ordained moment. Go say something. You're standing in line, the people in front of you, they're having a conversation, and you realize you have the voice of God in that moment to say something to that situation. Don't assume you're going to meet them in the parking lot. Say something. Say something right there. I remember when Michelle and I first started our ministry over in Mount Airy, and I was in line in a grocery store. I was buying stuff for Creation, and so I had like two big shopping carts filled with stuff. We were taking, 30 people up to Creation, and we were like, we got to feed them for a week, and just everything you can imagine. And the lady in front of me had like one of those little red baskets that had like three things in it. And she was there with her daughter, and she put her three things up onto the conveyor belt, got to the end of the register, she put her card in, and it said declined. And you just saw her heart break. And I'd like to tell you that in that moment, I raced to the front, put my card in there, and paid her bill. I didn't do that. I wish I had, though. I wish I hadn't said, oh, you know what? Tomorrow I'll help that. Because I had a moment. There was a moment. There was an opportunity right there. I haven't forgotten it. It's 7 years ago. It was an opportunity right there to bless somebody on behalf of what God has given to us to do something in that moment. And instead, I just let it pass by. I want to say to you, take advantage of the moment that the Lord puts you in and do something. Do something that He enables you to do in the circumstances in that moment, even if it's a little bit uncomfortable. And the last thing I want to say this morning is this. She did what Jesus would have her to do. She wasn't making a choice just on her own. She was following the will and the way of God. Her motives were right. How do we know that? Jesus responds saying that she has done what was right in that moment. He checks her heart. You've just done what's right. Listen, church, I want to encourage all of us today. You're going to leave a legacy behind. But note what Jesus says about the legacy that she leaves behind. He doesn't say that she did everything. He doesn't say that she got it right all the time. He doesn't say that she was the best preacher or teacher. He says that whenever people tell her story, they're going to note that she got it right. And that's going to continue till the end of time. Look, I don't know what the legacy is that you and I leave behind, but there's two things I hope to hear. The one thing is, well done, my good and faithful child, servant. And the second thing is, you got it right. You got it right. I titled my message this morning, I think I titled it this morning, Do Your Part. Do Your Part. And when I say that, I'm saying to every one of us and myself twice over. Doing our part doesn't just mean going out and doing something, but it just means saying yes to what God has in front of us. He might be asking us to sit still. Sit still. He might be asking you to have a voice. Then use that voice. I think he asked Matt today, by the way. Matt, who led worship, at one point he was like, let's give a clap offering to the Lord. And everybody clapped, right? That was the most worshipful moment for me because I cannot sing, right? And I cannot clap on rhythm, but I can just make a joyful noise with my hands, right? So I was just like, I get to worship in this moment. And I just went in and I was loving that moment. I was like, God, thanks for using Matt right there to invite me into worship. So y'all were like, why are we doing this? It was really, God was inviting me into that time of worship. And I appreciated that. I appreciated that. But I honestly believe this. Every one of us is depicted in this story. So we're either the lady with the alabaster jar, we're a disciple who's sitting idly by, or we're a scoffer who's on the side trying to rebuke someone else for doing their part. And at times, we've probably been all of those folks. This morning, I want to invite you. Don't sit idly by, and don't rebuke those who are doing what God has for them. Let's do our part. If your part is to sing, then sing loud. Be like Nathan Garcia and just sing your lungs out. Right. If your part is to serve, then be like these faithful students who are wearing yellow shirts. Like, go and serve. Bless somebody. Help somebody. Give up your time and your energy and your effort to do that. If your part is to write a check, then write a check generously, not begrudgingly, not controllingly. Write a check and just say, God, I trust that you'll use it for your kingdom purpose. But whatever your part is, let's every one of us do our part, because I believe this. The kingdom of God is big enough for all of us. Amen? Amen. The kingdom of God is designed and built around the promise that God has a place for all of us. That God himself said, I have a place for you. I'm going to prepare that place. And that place is right. That place is good. And that place is per invitation only. If you don't yet know Jesus as the Lord of your life, then doing your part today is simply saying, God, I trust you. I can't promise everything I'll give away. I can't promise what I'll do. I'm just saying, I trust you. And I'll take that first step to say, Lord, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to pray for us. During that time of prayer, I'm going to invite you to just think about where you're at with God. Think about whether you are the gal with the alabaster jar and you're blessing him and you're doing your part. Maybe you're thinking about you need to confess that you've been the scoffer on the side. Maybe you've been the enemy, or maybe you've been the one who's turned your boat over and has allowed for the environment where the enemy wants to play. But let's give us time to just get right before God. Father, during this time of prayer, I just pray that you would hear the hearts of your people. God, there's so much that we recognize that this has occupied our time and our space and our mind. And Lord, there's so much filling our agendas. And God, it's nice to just pause for a moment and say, Lord, here it is. God, there have been times when I've been quick to be like, get the perfume jar. Let's go do something. And I pray, God, that more often than not, that those times for every one of us have been times where we've been just doing right. We've been doing our part. We've been faithful to live in. And maybe you were asking us to speak, or maybe you were asking us to serve, or maybe you were asking us to encourage, or asking us to write somebody something, or asking us to give somebody something. And I pray, God, that in every one of those efforts that we've made, that we've not made them in vain. We haven't made them out without you. We haven't been out of step with the Spirit of God, but we've just been faithful to say, this is what you led me to do, and so I'm doing it. I'm not asking twice. I'm not double-checking. I'm going forward in the direction you have for me, that we've been attuned to your will and your way, and we've just been taking the natural next step. God, we celebrate all those times. But then, God, we also recognize that there have been a few times where we've just been the angry people in the room. We've been sitting on the side, our arms have been crossed. We've been looking at each other being like, why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? Why are they doing? We're doing that spiritually. We're doing that practically. There's been times when we looked at the people we love the most, and instead of thinking the best for them, why are they acting like that? Instead of assuming the righteousness on their behalf, we're coming at it from a place of defeat, a place of frustration, a place of bitterness, a place of anger, a place of jealousy. Why are they singing that song? Why are they dressing like that? Why are they showing up like that? Why ain't they showing up like that? Whatever it is. And God, for those moments, we just need to be confessional. We just need to say, God, I'm sorry. God, just expose my heart. Just kind of do some surgery on our heart, God. Cut away the callous parts. Make vulnerable the tender parts of our heart. If you're here today and that's true for you, maybe there's a moment where you've treated somebody wrong, you've thought worse of someone than you ought. You've looked at somebody kind of crooked-eyed because you've just been like, they're not doing it the way I think they should. Whatever it is. I think the first step is to say, God, I'm sorry. And the second step may just be to go to that person and say, I'm sorry for having done that. And maybe you're here today and like Judas, you've not invited Satan in, but you've just kind of created a fertile ground for him to have a little too much say in your life. Well, this morning is a chance to turn that around. This morning is a chance to take back, to reclaim, and to own the direction that your life is going. The first step in doing that is to worship the King. The heart that is postured before God, that worships Him from an authentic place of saying, Lord, You are the Lord of my life. That heart leaves no space for the evil one. It leaves no space. That's the heart that cries out, Jesus! 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 Where the name of Christ is proclaimed boldly and passionately, there is no foothold for the evil one. Get behind me, Satan. This belongs to the King. Get behind me, Satan. There is no room for you. Your voice is defeated. Your ways have no control. Because I'm postured to do something for Christ. I'm postured to do what I can, when I can. I can't do it all, but I can do something. So I'll show up for the appointment that You have for me, God. I'll stand boldly. I'll stand in the face of the enemy. I'll stand against those who might cast stones in my direction because I know, Lord God, You shield me, You protect me. Your hedge is around me. Your plans are perfect for me. Your will is right for me. Your way is pointed in that direction. No one knows what's ahead of me but You. And so, Lord God, together the church, we stand boldly in that. Together as a church, We simply step forward and say, I'll do my part. I'll do my part. Whatever my part is today that You would have for me, God, let me step in it. For some of us, that part is going to start right now. For some of us, Your appointment is today or tonight or tomorrow. But whatever that appointment is, Lord God, give us a courage and a boldness to show up. There's someone who needs to hear the good news. Let us be a voice that says it. There's someone who needs to experience a blessing. Let us be someone who offers it. There's someone who needs a voice of encouragement and hope. Let us have the thing. Let us have the words to say. There's someone who needs to experience grace and forgiveness. Let us let them off the hook. There's someone who we need to say I'm sorry to. Let us be quick to go in their direction. Oh, Lord God, Oh, Lord God, whatever that appointment is, we pray for courage and a boldness to step into that. Father, we worship you this morning. We know that you're not done with us yet. We know that this next step is another step in your direction. And Lord God, we know you've already run the race toward us. You've come to this place. You've conquered death. You surrendered your life. You resurrected. You've invited us to resurrect with you one day. So, Lord, this morning, make right our hearts. Posture us towards you. We might worship you in all that we do. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.